Company of One, episode number 5. Hello and welcome to the 5th episode of Company of One. My name is Dale Callahan, and this podcast will help you learn to take ownership and responsibility for your time and your income. You know, why let the circumstances, job titles, annual review, etc., determine how much money you make or how much control you have over your income and your life? You've got to quit living in a Dilbert cartoon and take ownership and responsibility for your career, because nobody else will. And I welcome you to today's show. You know, and I think about that on the intro. I'm working with one of our clients in IEM, and he was telling me he's trying to grow in his career. And he was telling me he was interviewing other people in the company in leadership positions about how he could move into the next level, into the next leadership position. And as he interviewed, and I kind of suspected this was going to happen to him, but as he interviewed, basically they didn't have any advice for him, you know, or it kind of summarized, the advice came down to, well, you know, if you just wait, eventually you'll get promoted. You know, that's probably what happened to them, you know, so it's fair advice. But what kind of way is that to live? What kind of way to operate is that? If you look at my recent podcast on how to develop your own personal growth or personal development plan, that's what we should be doing. We should be taking charge and taking control of what's going on. Taking control of my iPhone as it's beeping over here too would be a nice thing. But today what I want to talk about is one of those things about taking control is just that nightmarish amount of time that we spend doing email. Doesn't sound like a very exciting topic, but I hope that we can give you some hints here today that was going to help you in dealing with email and the email overload. And I talked to so many people that they can't get control of their day. They can't get control of anything because of just the sheer volume. Somebody was telling me just the other day, they go into work early just to deal with email. And as we know, most of it's garbage. But before we do that, kind of a couple of other things we're going to do today is kind of look at, people are always asking me, what am I reading? Because I refer to, I buy books all the time, probably like many of you, and you know, what am I reading? What kind of things am I gathering? Talk about a little bit about some products we have coming out and some upcoming speaking events that I'm doing. Speaking is one of the things I really enjoy doing. I don't even understand it because it doesn't seem to fit my personality, but I probably get the most energy speaking to a group of people, especially an interactive group of people. I get more energy doing that than I do absolutely anything else. So we'll talk about that, but the main thing is the email. But before we get to that, you know, what am I reading? A couple of books. I always have several books, but the one that it's got me right now that it's kind of a reread or a re-review, and I'm sending out lots of tweets on it, which is something I love to do, is tweet out great verses I see in books. But this one is The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. It's not a new book, by the way. I think it was written in 1959, but it's an excellent, excellent book. If you listen to other podcasts or something or read other blogs, you'll see it referred to many times. But really, it's a book about thinking, you know, and just how we think matters so much about it. And I'm just looking at a quote in here in his book. He said, "All of us, more than we recognize, are products of the thinking around us." And you may be aware of the comment that people often make is you tend to become like the 5 people you hang around. That's kind of scary. You know, but really, we do tend to become like the 5 people we hang around most, or 6 people, whatever. Those people who are around us, they influence our thinking. And therefore, you know, thoughts matter. And it matters a lot in what we do. I had a conversation just the other day, a guy that's a very good friend of mine. We sat down and we're having lunch. And he told me, "Dale, I feel like I'm living a chess match. And I'm going to be in checkmate." He said, "You know, that point you get into in a chess match when you can tell checkmate is coming. It's just a few moves away, and there's nothing you can do to avoid it. That's what I feel like in my career and my life." Obviously, the guy was a bit depressed. you know, or struggling. I don't know if depressed is the right word, but heck, it sounds pretty depressing to me. But a lot of what it came down to is just he felt trapped because he was thinking he was trapped. Now that's, and I'm not making light of that. That's what we all do. We all think that we are trapped, that we're successful, that we're this or that we're that, and it becomes true, which is a lot of what this book is about, the magic of thinking big. So that's one of the things that I have right there out there with me right now. Another thing, another book that I'm that I'm reading right now is The Cash Flow Quadrant by the same as The Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. A great book. It's kind of repetitive in his thoughts, but I think it's so important in what he's saying that it's a very good, it's a very good read, even though it's a bit repetitive. And it's a lot of what's in Rich Dad Poor Dad, but you know, get your head around how you earn income and where your money's coming from. And the third book that I've kind of got right now is by something that some of you may not know of. It's called Writing Riches. That's writing as a, writing a book, Writing Riches, by Ray Edwards. Now, Ray Edwards is the, a guru of copywriter. I don't, is it fair to even use the term guru anymore? Yeah, I don't know. But you know, he's a an excellent copywriter. He's a guy which is writes advertisements to draw people in. He is an expert. So I'm reading kind of his thoughts about how do you draw people in? What is what are the things that you talk about to draw people in? So with all that said, those are things that I'm reading. You know, and I always love to hear, by the way, if you have great ideas, things that you're reading, please let me know, because I constantly am buying books or on the lookout for, because it's learning. I love learning from other people. I love learning from other people's podcasts, other people's books, other people's websites, other people's blogs. Hopefully you do too. I mean, there's a vast storage of information out there. And while some of it's garbage, an awful lot of it is very powerful information. So that's what I'm reading. And as we come to that, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about where I am. And this is some products. People asked me the other day about products coming out. If you do listen to this podcast much, or the, if you go to my blog at dalecallahan.com, you don't see a lot for sale. We don't have a lot of advertisements. This has been a work in progress for years. And I'm telling you this not so much so you can hear my story, but for you to think about your story. While I've got businesses and we've got things that make money and we've got things that we do, one of the things that people have been asking me a lot about is help on starting a business, help on taking control, help on getting a new job, help on moving their way up a corporate ladder, help on growing their business. And people are constantly seeking advice, counsel on how to do various things in this. And most of them tend to be technical people. And I use that term a little loosely, but they tend to have a technical background. Most of them tend to have come from large corporations or, you know, and been in the corporate sector. So I've been helping these people for years, doing things with coaching, consulting, meeting with them one-on-one, charging many of them, not charging most of them probably. And just recently we've done, or we're doing, we're in the middle of a workshop called Awaken the Your Entrepreneur, which is really a five-night workshop that we're doing. Kind of, it's one of these test things. A great way to test something, by the way, putting a workshop out there, going out, delivering content, listening to what your customers say. But we are putting this together. There was a charge, a small nominal charge for this workshop. But it's probably the first real product that we've offered in this space about helping people take control. Helping people, you know, become an entrepreneur, helping people to take control of their income. We've in the past I did a webinar that became the book or the workbook, if you will, Discovering the Entrepreneur in You. Which, you know, I don't even have that up on the website. I think it's on Amazon and a couple other places, but we've been selling that over the years. We sell that also through our company, Ask Dr. Callahan, to a lot of the homeschool market. But We're in the process, or I am in the process in working with the team to start releasing some products to help people actually build businesses, to help people figure out where they need to be, to help people network and connect with the right people. A lot of the things I've been telling about and people have been asking me for help with. You know, it's one of the great things when you do a speaking event and people come up later and they want to buy the audio, which is something I haven't even done yet. You know, no, I don't have that available, sorry. They want to buy the audio. They want to know the workshop, next workshop. They want to buy the book, you know, and a lot of it we don't have available. So we're working on that. We're working, and I say we because there's multiple people involved, as there isn't anything that's of significance. But we're working toward that to get some products moving out the door, and we'll let you know some about that. Obviously, it'll be on the website, dalecallahan.com also. But as we go there, before we get to some of that, I just want to share one verse with you. Obviously, if you don't know, I'm a Christian. So I spend a lot of time looking for wisdom, where I think is the source of all wisdom. And I'm looking in Ephesians 5, and he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, even if you're not a Christian, by the way, and I know some of you are not, or you may be of other faiths, you know, there's truth is truth, and obviously I believe the Bible to be true. So even if you don't believe, if you're not don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and all that, I understand that. Certainly hold nothing against you. I have lots of friends and lots of faiths and non-faiths. That's actually where I've spent most of my life, for that matter, is being atheist or agnostic or whatever you want to call it. But yet, wisdom is wisdom. Take what it was as you will. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Some things to think about there. The upcoming events. Several of you have asked me, what's coming up? Where am I going to be? What am I going to be doing? We've done a significant amount of traveling around through the beginning of this year, the end of last year. But what we're doing right now, what we're busy doing, we're obviously recruiting for their Information Engineering and Master's Program. You can find it at uab.edu/IEM. And we're busy recruiting for the graduate program that starts in August. We take applications up till like July 1st. So we spend a lot of time talking to people and spend a lot of time going to local events doing that. Some of them, like on April the 10th, if you are in the Birmingham, Alabama area, we are doing something probably at the Hoover Library. And I realize April the 10th is right around the corner, but I don't even know what we're doing. That may be where we're talking about the military next steps, is we're doing a workshop, and I think that's what that is. We're doing a workshop for people that are coming out of the military or looking to transition out of the military. There's a lot of activity going on there now. And many of them are kind of lost. What do I do next? What comes next? And then on the next day, the 11th, we're doing the Awaken Your Entrepreneur, the series of workshops that we've been talking about. I may have my days wrong, but anyway, that's Wednesday night on the Awaken Your Entrepreneur. And if you're interested in that and joining in on that, send me an email, let me know, and we'll shoot you some information. On the April 17th, and I don't know if I will be at this one or not, but some of our team will be from the Information Engineering and Management at the Chattanooga Technology Transfer Conference in Chattanooga Venture Forum in, obviously, Chattanooga. And you can look that up, the Chattanooga 2013 Technology Transfer Conference. And we will be there. We'll have a booth there. I may or may not make it there for some of the time, just to kind of meet people and talk to people. That's part of what we're trying to do in terms of our graduate program is expand our reach, since we are an online program, trying to get out and connect with other people. On the 23rd, April the 23rd, I'm doing a talk, and this is actually internal to UAB, I think, But to the UAB continuing education, heck, I don't know, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't really know what they call themselves. But I will be talking about networking for introverts, a topic that that I spend a lot of time talking about. A lot of people, especially in the project management world, have asked us to come talk about networking for introverts. And then on May 2nd, I will be in Columbus, Georgia at the PMI meeting. And we'll be talking about your number one career killer. There's other dates here, and unfortunately I don't have them written in front of me. And somebody was asking me the other day where to find all of this stuff. Probably the best place to find speaking events that I'm doing is on the Information Engineering Management webpage. I don't have a lot of it on my blog yet. I have to do that to get it on my blog about speaking events. But if you go to the www.uab.edu, education, and then /IEM, Information Engineering Management, you will find a calendar there on the website that has, including other things, you know, speaking events I'm usually involved in. And if you come there and you listen to this podcast, please come say something to me. I mean, I want to know what, I want to talk to the people. You know, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you in email or leaving a comment on iTunes. Matter of fact, please do. Please give us feedback. Please leave comments. What do you think? Especially if you can rate us highly. I mean, that that helps us. But let's now get into the key thing today about writing effective emails. As I look at the time I spend and you spend in emails, it's can be overwhelming. We did a thing recently in our graduate program where we ask all the clients to document how much wasted time they spent through the day. And as we did that, we kind of did it in on the fly and just made a guess. And I asked them, you know, so that one of the email was obviously one of the time wasters, one of the big ones that was said. So we asked people, you know, how much time do you feel you spend a day on email? And wasted time. Now, I'm not just talking about productive email, but I'm saying wasted time. And most of them would say, oh, about an hour. And, you know, there's about an hour on things like, you know, what they call drive-bys, people that just come by and have a chat at your office. And there were several things. And then we had them keep track for 1 week, how much time do they really spend on these activities. The results were stunning because how blinded we are to what is going on and where we're wasting our time. My iPhone is just going off like crazy today. Well, I guess that's a good thing. But as we look at where they spent their time and where they wasted their time, this is one of the things that really came out and came very, very clear. They underestimated the amount of wasted time they spent on email. I mean, it was drastic, and I think many of the people said they had four times as much wasted time as they thought on email. And this is especially true when people tell me that they're really working on side businesses, and we were talking about whether they have time, and multiple people tell me, you know, I spend the early morning hours, I go to work early, and I get to work early for one reason and one reason only, so I can get ahead of the email. Wow, you get to work early to get ahead of the email, and that's not necessarily the most effective use of your time. So I'm not sure I would spend my quality hours doing email unless it was critical email, because that's the morning time for most of us is probably the prime time, and if you're going in just to clear out inboxes, delete junk mail, or, you know, all the things you're courtesy copied on, it's a huge, huge waste of time. You could probably just highlight it all and hit delete. And there's some of you with an exception. And many of you are saying, oh, no, Dale, I can't do that. Can't do that. That's important. I bet many of you could. I have and not been noticed. Now, you may be in one of those exception fields that would matter. But I kind of want to get into, though, how to write effective emails. So we're going to go through a couple of steps that I think, because I have learned if you write your emails effectively, now this is not that I do it all the time, but if I write them effectively, I generate less email. And I get less email coming back at me. And I make fewer mistakes, like the mistake you often see where people send you the email and then they'll say, whoops, forgot the attachment, you know, and those kind of things that just clutter up your inbox and you can't tell which one to read, you know, because sometimes they'll give you all the text on one and then the attachment on another, so you got to keep both emails. So let me just kind of go through the steps that I use of how to write an effective email. Step one of how to write an effective email is to define the purpose of the email. Now, obviously, now I use my Mac Mail or the Apple Mail, and I open that up. And so the first thing I do is not type in Joe's name. Hey, Joe Smith, to get his email address up there. That is not the first thing I do. Why am I writing this email? Am I trying to provide general information? Hey, you know, I just wanted to let you... Policy updates. This is, you know, one of the kind of things that you see, especially in large corporations. That's what that is. You know, policy updates or general meeting notices. You know, am I just trying to make sure I inform people? Now, I am one of the world's worst because I hate meetings and I hate garbage email. Sometimes I under-inform people, meaning I don't tell them things going on that they wish I had told them. So I try to, you know, if something's going on, at least let people know. And a lot of times this is what's just general information. Now I might provide providing requested info. I might be answering a question that you've asked. I might be asking you for something or setting a meeting. Setting a meeting is one in particular that's usually can be time-consuming emails. Or I might be following up on a discussion. But, you know, either way, I want to be clear about what I'm writing the email for and what do I expect in return. Now, that's very critical because I need to tell you right up front what the email is about. If your email is many, many, and we have people on our team and they'll write me these pages and pages and pages of email, I don't read them, and neither do you, I know, because... You think, I don't have time for this right now. I'll get to this later. My email that says, hey, can you send me over that PowerPoint deck? You get to me and you send it and I get my email answered immediately. Because it's right up front. You know what I'm asking for. You can respond. But if I send you a big blurb of how wonderful your PowerPoint presentation was and all this, and I had a couple of questions, and let's meet for coffee maybe, and by the way, could you send the PowerPoint deck, you know, and it's down in the third paragraph, you're not reading that. You'll read that later. So it might be weeks before I get the coffee time set up and the PowerPoint deck sent from you. And I say this because an email is almost, think about Twitter, and email is really not a lot more involved than Twitter. Get to the point. Put in the subject line in the very beginning what the email is about and what you expect in return. Now after I do that, step two is to draft the email. Start with a purpose. Now that you've defined it, start with a purpose. What do I want and how do I want you to respond? For instance, hey, I'm providing you a policy update. I need you to read and review just for information only. No need to respond. I might say something like that. Or I might say, I need you to read and review and then respond to me any comments by email by March 1st. Very specific. I've told you what I want in return in the first sentence. I might even bold out what I want in return so you know when I need it, so you know that what specifically I'm asking for. I might say instead, hey, let's follow up with a meeting on a specific date. Whatever. The point is, let's draft out the email starting very clearly with what the purpose of the email is. And really, I wouldn't give a whole lot of other information. If I need to give you a link to the policy update, or if I need to say, here's the question, or here's something that somebody else sent me, can you look at this and comment on this, and here's it's attached or it's below. But I want to be, the first couple of lines of an email are absolutely the critical space, because most of us are going to read that quickly, And even if I have long stuff attached, I want to let you know the rest of this attached is not the critical stuff. Read over it if you want, but here's what I need. So, you know, I've defined the purpose. I've drafted the email. Those are two critical steps that we need to take. All right, step three. And this is the one that I think is kind of critical. It is critical. As you're sitting there, I want you to notice in step one, finding the purpose, and step two, draft the email. Nowhere have I said determine who the email goes to. Matter of fact, I think we've got the wrong fields at the top of the email. The first thing in the email should be the text or the subject line in the text. I skip over who the email is going to. At least I try to almost every time. I skip over that to the very end because this keeps me from accidentally sending something I don't want to send. This helps me look over the email better. This helps me think about who actually needs it. This helps me consider, you know, especially if it's an email and I'm on a rant, helps me to think, do I really want to send what I just said? And I don't have any accidental sins. Now, I do. I do have accidental sins, but broadcast of email. But what I'm trying to do is focus on the message first and then who needs to get the message. So step three is it really needed? Is what I'm writing important? Is it helpful? And who should get it? Okay? Is it needed and who should get it? That's step three. Because a lot of times I'll have a brilliant thought, you know, and I'll be writing that brilliant thought down and sharing it with a team. And, you know, and I realize that's what Evernote is for. Go capture that thought because it's not really thought out. If I was in a meeting with you or if we were in a brainstorming session, I might discuss that. But maybe it's inappropriate right now to throw that out there in an email. Because I might generate chatter, but probably what's going to happen is my email is going to get a little bit longer because it's a brilliant thought. Maybe weeks from now people will respond to it, and maybe nobody will respond to it at all, which actually is quite common. Nobody responds to it at all. The brilliant thought's lost. And I guess in the best case scenario, people respond to it and you'll generate some chatter. And maybe that's good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But, you know, the thing is, do you really need to send this in the clutter of all things sent out there? You know, would you appreciate getting this? Is this useful? Is it helpful? What are you trying to accomplish? Is it really needed? So, I have not put in necessarily who should get it yet. I'm just thinking through who should get it. I have not filled out the to or the CC or the blind courtesy copy field yet. And step four is, if you ever read my emails, you probably think I need to listen to this step four. But step four is to check it. Now, do I do this all the time? No. But every time I do check it, I'm like, wow, I don't even understand what I just wrote because it's got typos and run-on sentences. Because obviously we think faster than we can type. Typing is such a lousy mechanism for communicating, but that's another rant. But what works for me is, now that I've got something written, is to read it aloud to myself. Just to read it. Just follow the words, read it aloud. And then to say, does it portray what I wanted to say? First of all, does it have typos and spell check? Obviously, spell check the stupid email. I say that. I'm talking to myself. I'm as guilty as everybody else. Maybe more so than everybody else. But, you know, at least let's try to get reasonable. It may be the wrong use of the word there in the text. But at least it won't be spelled THRE. You know, so at least it makes sense. It's just maybe the grammar checker or the spell checker did it wrong. I mean, obviously you want to kind of get as perfect as you can, but you don't want to try to make a Pulitzer, winning news email. If you do this for every email, you get a little crazy. But at least try to spell check it. Read it aloud. And this to me is extremely, extremely critical. Does it portray the message you want to portray? Not just the content, but does it portray your brand? Now you listen to that, very, very critical. This is critical. Does it speak to your brand? For instance, I've seen a lot of people write an email to their boss. This is our situation. This is what we've got. And we can't accomplish our goal because of this, 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 this. They give a million reasons of why they can't do things. It's all perfectly legitimate in what they're saying. But the overall message is, he's a whiner. He is a whiner. He's given me all the reasons he cannot do things. And a lot of emails just are nothing but raw whining. And I say that in a lot of the ones I see, people are just whining. Now, sometimes I get emails from people who are whining. They're not whining to me to solve their problems, but they're looking for advice and for counsel. So, you know, I kind of expect that in the business I'm in. But if I'm leading you, if I'm part of your organization and I'm part of your team, or if I'm a team member of yours, sending a whining email portrays weak leadership. Okay? Weak leadership. Leaders do not whine. Okay, do you have that? And I don't mean leaders as if you're titled CEO. I mean people who are leaders. You can be a leader and have nobody reporting to you. You can be a leader of your CEO because you're the one, you're the thought leader. You're the one who drives the direction. You're the one who makes things happen. You're the one who leads the conversation. You can be the leader. Leaders don't whine. So if I do have that whiny email, and I've captured myself doing this sometimes where I'm saying, hey, guys, we don't have the resources to do this. We don't, and I realize, wow, this sounds like whining. So I have to go back and think, what's the purpose of the email? The purpose of the email is to bring to attention the problem that we have. But I'm thinking, a leader does not send out problems without possible solutions. So I will change the tone of the email to say, here's our problem, and here's some thoughts of some things we might be able to do to solve it. And maybe the only solution I have is to let's get together and look at how we cannot together solve this problem. At least there's a solution in play. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but there's a solution in play. There's a leadership activity there. Because I want my emails to be portrayed as not whining, as positive. Okay? When you read my email and you see my email in your inbox, I don't want you to think, oh, my heart sinks. Here's another email from Dale, and I don't want to put up with this, you know. I want you to be encouraged and, you know, even if you're my boss, you know, I want you to be encouraged and positive, and here's the guy and he's working towards the role. So as you check it, think about your brand. What are you communicating in this email? Even if it's not by words, what are you communicating? And in the checking it also, I want to know if I am asking for a reply, was it, if I'm asking for a reply, did I specifically specify how I want it to be replied to? Now, this is one other thing to check, and this has burned a lot of people. If I am writing an email to you, and for instance, you know the email, you send me an email, I'm on your team, and you bring up a really legitimate issue about we don't have the resources to do anything, and embedded in there you say the boss is a scoundrel and all this kind of stuff. You may not use those words, but you talk about how the boss has poor leadership and has missed all this. But all I see, because you've written this long rant of an email, all I see is that you bring up a good point about resources. So I forward the email out to other people, including our joint boss. I think I'm doing something useful because I say, hey, John makes a great point here because I didn't read your stupid email. And I don't realize that embedded in your email, you're ranting and raving and criticizing the boss. Have you ever seen that before? Have you ever done that before? Have you been guilty on either side of that email? I mean, I know I have. I've written apologies and had to apologize in person for doing both of those, you know, all of those things. So first of all, don't ever write an email that criticizes somebody else if you think they might ever read it and you would be upset with that. Assume email is public information. But the other thing is, when you're forwarding something, be very, very, very careful. I have some team members that, and you do too. Every time you send an email directly to them, they respond to you and they copy everybody else, including the president of the organization. Mm-hmm. To me, that just annoys the daylights out of me. Not because I care about the president of the organization saying it, but because you're like, there's words for these people, right? What we call them. But you're like, how cluttered up is that email box of the president organization just from people like this? Because they're not the only one. So, but if you're replying, so as you're checking it, if you're replying, make sure that the content left below what you said and all the stuff you're forwarding and all the stuff that you're replying to, all the stuff embedded is okay to send forward. So that's part of checking it. Okay, and step five, one of the last things I want to do is, there's only seven steps here, but one of the last things I want to do is add the addressees. Now, this one sounds kind of obvious, but I haven't done it till now, and I've explained to you why. I'm going to explain why again. I do not want to put your email in there until I'm done. I've added the attachments. I've done all the stuff. That's when I want to add that in there. Also, I want to think about who needs a courtesy copy and who just should I leave up. Really, the sending an email oftentimes, unless I'm sending it to a group of people that they're involved in a talk I did or they're involved in a class I'm doing or something, I don't want to send it. I want to focus on sending it to the fewest number of people possible. So, you know, who is that? And another person to think about courtesy copying. You know, I don't know if that's what CC means or not, but sounds good. So let's call it courtesy copy. Do I copy myself? Now, if you're familiar with David Allen's Get Things Done philosophy, if you're not, it's a great book, great resources, great webinars, great conferences. But the book itself, Getting Things Done, it will change your view of how you process things. You know, courtesy copying myself, because especially if I'm waiting on a reply from you by March 1st, I have a folder that's at or ampersand FWF, which is waiting for. So a lot of times if I send something to you and I'm waiting for a response, I'll courtesy copy myself and then drag over that copy over into that waiting for folder, meaning I'm waiting for a response. And at the end of the week in my review time, which is another David Allen thing, in my review time, I make sure and I review, did I get that response yet? Do I need to follow back up with you to make sure I get that response? Another thing I might want to do, if I need to take some action, I have another folder that's, again, a David Allen thing, ampersand action, which is an action I need to take. And so I'll put it over there. If it's, you know, I might put it on my calendar immediately. But anyway, do I need a copy of this? Because I could go back and say, I'm going to grab it out of my sent box, but I find that to be not as effective as grabbing a copy and putting it over in my email folder. Then obviously at that point, once I've read it, once I know who it's going to, once I got all that stuff done, then I send the email. That's step six. Now that's not the end of the things, because step seven, the last step, is to follow up. And that part of that follow up is, now that if I've courtesy copied it to myself, what do I do with it? Do I put it in the action? Do I put it in the waiting for? Do I put it in the just information? Hey, this is about our graduate program, so I'm going to keep this and capture this thought just for future reference. Do I need to follow up? And this is where the waiting for thing comes from. If I'm waiting for a response, I need to make – this is part of delegation, by the way. If you've read my blog post on delegating for success, something I struggle with. You need to know that you're expecting a response from people. And if they don't give it, you need to make sure they understand that you expect to be responded to. And that you're asking for a response wasn't just you running your mouth or typing with your fingers in this case. But you need to know how to follow up on that. So whether I put that on my calendar that I need to follow up on that, whether I need to set a meeting with John or doing that, that's one of the things that I'm going to do is handle it in the follow-up process in step number 7. I'm going to give you one other hint about email, because one of the things, and it's kind of embedded in here and maybe plays in several places, is meetings. And you know how this happens. People if you get involved in lots of meetings, but people will ask me for a meeting. Hey, I would love to take you to lunch, and would you be okay with that? And I'll respond, sure. And they'll respond, well, tell me a time. And then I'll respond, how about next Tuesday, at a location? And they'll respond, well, I can't do Tuesday. And you get the idea. You end up with a multiple email volley just to set up a stupid meeting. Now, sometimes a phone call is just better. Sometimes a phone call is not, because if somebody's on the road, they can't look at their calendar very well. So what I try to do is if I'm asking for a meeting, saying, hey, I would like to meet you for coffee at Starbucks at this location on one of the following dates and times, are you available to do that? I've pretty much specified exactly what I want and given them. They can say, yes, that Tuesday's perfect. Put it, and then I can put it in my calendar. We got two emails. Okay. Now, this is especially true if we got a team of people involved and you're trying to set a meeting. What we try to do is set out, here's possible dates. Everybody pick one. Respond only to the person who sent out the email, not to everybody. Especially, this is great when you got 15 people and everybody's responding to everybody. But you try to cut down on the volley. Now, obviously, there's tools to do this better. There's meeting planners and, things like Google Calendar and things that you can set meetings with people. But I find there's an awful lot of email involved in just doing meetings. So trying to cut down on the chatter. I think Tim Ferriss in his book, 4-Hour Work Week, has some hints on just how to cut down on email too. And a lot of it's what we're saying, is just to be very forceful on how you deal with email. So with that, I hope you found that useful. I mean, email sounds like a boring topic, but obviously it's killing much of your day, killing a lot of your time. I hope you enjoy this. If I am coming to speak in your town or something, if you'd please do make a point to come speak to me and tell me you've got this podcast, or you feel free, if you've got questions that you want answered through the podcast or some other mechanism, send me an email. Obviously, you can send the email at dale@dalecallahan.com, or you can, there's a SpeakPipe request at my website. If you go to dalecallahan.com, you can click on there on that speak pipe, and actually, well, you can send me an audio message. Send me a message via Twitter, Facebook, whatever makes sense to you. I mean, I love answering people's questions, because oftentimes I miss the issue. I think we all do. We miss what the issue is of the audience we're talking to, but please send me questions. I love to know what's on your mind, what you think. And please do rate us on iTunes. Go to iTunes, make a comment, and please rate this. It helps other people. But it does one thing for you. It puts you in that leadership and that thought leader category when you're willing to be out in the world and express your opinions and constructive criticism about stuff that's out there. You are an expert yourself. Make it known.